Hello and welcome to the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben304, and with me, as always, is my co-host.
Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Grunislav. Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Did you know that this is episode 21 of our podcast?
Well, do you know, I was thinking the other day, if we take an average of about an hour for our podcast, by the time we get to 24, we'll have a constant day, a full day of entertainment.
You're absolutely right.
I am. So you can spend a whole day.
You can spend a whole day listening to us.
Yeah, with your buddies. Yeah, goodness, well, than three or four.
To be fair, if you're... Oh, you're talking about us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wasn't talking about gathering your friends around for a podcast party with some popcorn and some
that's what some I thought you meant.
Nesquik. That'd be pretty amazing.
Oh, man. Popcorn and Nesquik together?
Well, man, I'll mix any foods together. Not popcorn in the Nesquik, but drink Nesquik.
Well, no, I understand. Anyway, speaking of drinking, our podcast is old enough to drink now. So, yeah.
Well, it's been old enough for three episodes here in Australia.
Well, now here in the US of A, it's...
Well, you're all prudes over there. Look at you. You had a prohibition. We never had a prohibition. Alcohol's just a free-for-all here. You've been here. You've been in Australia, and you've drank your share. You know,
you're right.
What it's like.
You're right. I do.
You've drank pig's ass.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
You've had snake bites.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Maybe the aftermath, not so delicious, but...
It was entertaining, if nothing else.
Good. I'm glad.
Good.
Anyway, how have you been?
I've been good. Oh, man, of course I've been playing games. Last week I talked about The Inner World, which I really liked, and it reminded me that I hadn't played The Whispered World by Daedalic, even though it's been sitting on my shelf for a couple of years now. So I've pulled it down and I plugged it in and I started playing, and I'm enjoying it. I will say it's a very slow start. It took a long time to get into it. The main character's voice acting took a long time to get used to.
Mm.
Because he speaks like this. And he's always sad.
His name is Sadwick, to be fair.
Yeah. And some of the puzzles, I have to say, I've finished the first chapter and I'm plodding my way steadily through the second chapter. I just play a little bit every day rather than sitting down and have one big go, but I seem to solve as many puzzles by accident as I do knowing what the hell I'm doing. So I think some of it is that I did some of the stuff in the first chapter before I got the clues that I should have had to solve the puzzles. So I was just walking around going, oh, that looks like that'll fit there. And yeah, so, but actually the story is starting to get interesting now, and the graphics are breathtaking. The graphics are absolutely superb, and the music really reminds me of Studio Ghibli films. So that's nice, because they have lovely, lovely music. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, but it is, there's a lot to overlook if you're a picky gamer. So hopefully it gets better.
Yeah, hopefully.
I also played another point-and-click adventure called Festima, The Curse of the Gold.
Oh, really? You didn't tell me that you had played that one.
Surprise. and I have to say, I really enjoyed it. I got it, and I got home from work, and I bought myself a bag of microwave popcorn and a big bottle of Coke, and I sat there, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of puzzles to solve. I love puzzles, you know? You know I like puzzles, so there was a lot of, you know, and so I thought some of the puzzles were fairly clever. They kept me scratching my head for quite a while. So it's beautiful low res graphics. It really feels like a 1990s adventure. You know, there's no voice acting, so you can't get annoyed at the voice acting. The music's pretty cute. It did make me laugh, because when I bought it, one of the features in the list of features, at least up on Gamer's Gate, which is where I got it from, is that it has a cliffhanger ending, which I don't consider a feature, to be honest.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, it's well drawn, it's well animated, it's lots of fun. If you love solving puzzles, like if you're one of those people, like if you're like a Neo adventure gamer, where you want all your games to be fairly straightforward, like Black Wheel games and Gemini Ruin stuff like that, then you'd probably be a little disappointed with how many puzzles there are. But if you love like Sam and Max and Day of the Tentacle, go for it.
Okay. Same. Well then,
And take a bag of popcorn. It took me my whole bag of my. It was like a serves full bag of popcorn, and
it lasted
the whole game. Yeah, way to go.
By the way, I just looked up the Whispered World on Wikipedia, and spoilers.
Yeah, okay. I haven't looked it up on Wikipedia, so I won't go on there.
Yeah, don't do that. But I'm curious now to see what your reaction will be to the end of the game.
Well, the end of the game is prophesized at the start of the game.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, I've still got a fair bit of gameplay, I would imagine. I'm only stumbling my way through the second chapter. Well, I wouldn't say stumbling. You know, I've got I'm solving puzzles. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Although I just spent like 20 minutes on that goddamn chess puzzle.
Hmm.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Chess puzzle should be outlawed.
Well, anyway.
What is this, the seventh anyway. Guest?
Yeah, so what have you been playing?
Oh, well, what have I been playing? I've been playing...
Rayman Legends. I've been playing it.
Yeah, I was playing Rayman Legends earlier. And actually, I'm still watching Breaking Bad, as I mentioned in the last podcast.
Oh, really?
Well, considering that we just recorded the last podcast like a couple of days ago at this... But anyway, I actually have downloaded two demos that I played yesterday. Actually, the day before yesterday. Those two demos being for Ubisoft's remake of Flashback, and also a demo for David Cage's next game, Beyond Two Souls, which is coming out next week, I believe.
We should preface it by saying that Flashback is sort of like a spiritual successor to Another World, I guess. It's like a platform action.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of is.
Beautiful, beautiful low-res graphics and rotoscoped animation.
Yes. And
you liked the original a lot, didn't you?
I did like the original a lot. I played the original on Sega Genesis back in the early 90s. Actually, I played an Out of This World on the Sega Genesis as well. So
okay.
I got all of my beautiful low-res rotoscope graphics on the Sega Genesis.
I have to say, I liked Another World better than Flashback. Flashback feels a lot stiffer to me.
Like, it is a bit. And the difficulty curve ramps up pretty significantly midway through. Whereas,
Another World stays pretty consistent, I think.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of spots, but, you know.
Yeah. Now, I know we don't do Deliver Rants anymore, but this is essentially going to be a big rant because I was not... Let's just say I wasn't pleased with these two demos.
You weren't impressed, were you?
I wasn't. I was not impressed. Which do you want to talk about first?
I think we should talk about... Flashback first, so that we can get that out of the way, because that's not going to be pretty.
No, you're right. It really isn't.
Let's get this dirty water off your chest.
Oh man, I'm ready to spit up some dirt bile water all over the floor.
Wow, yeah. Francisco, I'm detecting some strong emotion here.
Oh, you have no idea, Ben Chandler.
No, I have an idea. I like. Yeah, I know where you're coming from. Let's go.
Okay. So there's the Flashback remake presents many, many, many issues that aren't just limited to the game itself, but they reach more into the general realm of remakes in general,
sure.
and modern gaming versus classic gaming. Yes, yeah. So I guess we can start from face value and move backwards. So obviously Ubisoft has taken this 20-year-old classic game, because it came out, I believe, in 1993, so it's been about 20 years now. So they've taken this game and they've given it a new coat of paint. You know, it's no longer sprite-based, it's obviously 3D. It still retains the classic ant farm view, you know, the side-scrolling platforming elements and whatnot. But they've added things to it. They've added new characters, apparently. They've added new gameplay mechanics. They've added experience points. They've added a leveling up system. They've basically added a bunch of stuff.
How do you find the new graphics?
The new graphics are... They're not ugly, but they're just not... I mean, it's night and day. I mean, you know, it's not the beautiful low-res 2D graphics. It's 3D... They're kind of generic, actually.
The original graphics, I have to say, I find absolutely stunning. I think Flashback is one of the prettiest side-scrolling games I know.
Yeah, well, they've turned it into basically a generic 3D-looking looking thing.
Okay. I haven't even dared to look up screenshots because... Did you ever...
I want you to feel my pain.
I even remember the Another World Special Edition that came out where they did a high res 2D version of Another World. I still don't think that's prettier, or Other Worlds as you know it. I still don't think that's prettier than the original low res graphics. Certain games are meant to be seen a certain way, and I get a little bit nostalgic for the old. If I'm playing that game, I'm playing it to sort of capture it how it was meant to be back in the day. I don't want to sort of put a new coat of paint on it. But it's fine if it helps younger gamers get into it, then that's cool. I'm down with that. I can go for that. I can do.
Good. Anyway, the thing that gets me about Flashback, just the remake of it, is it's just...
This is hard for you, isn't it?
It really is hard for me. So the main character in Flashback, Conrad, in the original game, he didn't really talk. I mean, he wasn't a silent protagonist. He had interaction with other characters and stuff, but he didn't make comments as the game went along. What they've done in the remake is they've essentially made him into a Nathan Drake wannabe, and he says things as he's jumping, and he recharges his... I mean, in the Flashback originally, when you'd recharge your battery, your battery for your gun, you'd get treated to a nice little cutscene where it was him plugging in the battery into a charger, and then you'd get this little fanfare, little da-da. Now he goes, he walks over to the thing and he says stuff like, "Yeah, let's go, let's play," stuff like that, which is just really terrible.
So it's basically trying to be like 1990s arcade game.
I guess. But then he says the phrase "awesome sauce" at one point, which I think you heard while I was playing, and it ruined it for me, as well as everything else. But here's the thing, and this is the main thing that's the difference between old games and new games. You've seen that video on YouTube where someone did a parody of Doom, and it was like, what if Doom was made today?
And I thought it was pretty accurate.
Yeah, and it totally is. I mean, you've got Doom, which is your classic old school, the original first-person shooter, and you're basically just going around with no instructions whatsoever. You just know that you intuitively know that you have to shoot monsters, and you go along and whatever. And there's no real story to speak of. I mean, aside from the...
Are you kidding me? I have the book.
Like I said, there's no real story to speak of.
You have...
marshmallows. And so the parody video had another character with a lot of exposition and you know, the objectives go over here and the arrow and stuff like that. And it was funny because it was like, oh yeah, haha, that's true. But Flashback actually does this, and it makes me sad. I mean, Flashback gives you objectives. It holds your hand through everything you have to do. It gives you hints on, like, you pick up the gun and it's like, oh, you can use your gun if you hold down the thing to shoot through obstacles, and it shows you a little tutorial video of Conrad shooting a door, which is like right next to you. So instead of being able to figure this out on your own, you're basically told what to do. And you know, there's all this extra dialogue that's unnecessary, and it's just really sad. Really just sad how apparently to be modern, I mean, how games nowadays need to spoon feed you every single thing you need to do for fear of, you know, having your player not lose interest and just say, what do I have to do, you know?
I think people have to an extent forgotten, and I've said this before, people have to an extent forgotten that exploration is gameplay and finding things out is gameplay, learning things, solving things, you know?
But then I know
that back in the 90s, there were games that are impossible to work out by yourself. But there's also a point where I think you don't want a game to tell you everything to do. You want to work stuff out by yourself, you know. That I don't like having my hand held too much when I play a game. And you were talking about Doom before and the parody video of Doom. And in over the course of the last 12 months at some point, I've played both Doom and Rage. And when I got to the end of Rage, I couldn't help. Rage being the latest id sort of game, mm-hmm. first-person shooter. I couldn't help but feel that in trying to modernize it, they've lost more than something. They've lost a fair bit. I liked Rage, but I think they tried to bloat it, as you say, with all these unnecessary extra stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just even in Flashback, like, the experience things. Why do you need to upgrade your targeting and your... What do you need to upgrade? Your shooting? Big deal. It was like, in the original Flashback, you didn't even have aiming. You just shot and hoped you hit something. You know, here you have a laser pointer, and it's just ridiculous.
I think the point is that when you play something like, for example, Flashback or Metal Slug or, you know, Mega Man, it's not the character that upgrades, it's your skill as a player. And
I guess, but...
Man, by the time you know, you've played Metal Slug or something like that enough to sort of get through it, you know everything. You have a perfect playthrough. I can play through the first couple, or at least first two levels of Metal Slug without taking a hit, you know. It's you that has to improve most of the time, not the actual character you're playing.
Mm.
So I think games have lost that. I mean, there's still hardcore games getting made today, mostly in the indie scene, you know, but yeah. There's stuff like Dark Souls and, you know, I haven't played Dark Souls, but there's Dark Souls and FTL, which Ryan Timothy asked us to talk about, which we can't because neither of us has played it yet. But, you know, people are still making hardcore games. But as you say, it's a shame when you see a game get remade.
Yeah.
And the remake loses what makes the original great.
Yeah. And the funny thing, the icing on the cake, is that the original is included in the download of Flashback. So it's like, why did they bother? Why didn't they just re-release the original? It's still...
Well, they did that with the Monkey Island Special Editions, and you know how I feel about those.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, the thing with Flashback, too, like, the... Just in addition to all the bloat and the everything else and the annoying Drake wannabe main character, is that they changed around the enemies too, from what I remember. There was this great bit in the beginning, the first level of Flashback, where there's these hooded guys and you have to pick up a stone and throw it to make them look the other way so you can jump down and shoot them. Those guys have been replaced with robots who explode when you shoot them and give you energy pellets when you shoot them as well.
Is this even Flashback we're talking about, or have they made, like, Flashback Light or Diet Flashback?
They should just call it Backflash.
Well, I think I've said
and
this before,
the noise
but
that
I
comes
think...
out of my butt when I play it.
I think these days, you know, because there's so many games now, you have to work so hard to keep players' attention after they've played your demo. I think people are doing as much as they can to make people go, oh man, this game is amazing, before they give up and go, oh man, this game's too boring for me, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I sound like an old grumpy guy, but that's true.
You mentioned that the indie game scene is where you see most of the games where that you have to figure stuff out on your own. Look at Gone Home, for example. I haven't played it. I played a little bit of it at GDC, but Gone Home is apparently just a game that is just all about the exploration. You have no objectives. You just kind of have to walk around and find stuff and piece the story together from that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's gotten a whole bunch of praise.
Yeah, I'm really interested to try Gone Home once I've played everything else on my list, which, as you know, is big, because I just ordered The Last of Us and Tomb Raider today when they're on special.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I have to confess, I'm a little jealous of the fact that you're getting The Last of Us and Tomb Raider.
Man, you saw the prices I got them for. They're good prices.
Yeah.
Waited, and I waited for good reason. Anyway, so let's talk about... We've talked about Flashback. Basically, you're trying to say, if you want to play it, play the original.
Yeah, exactly.
I can probably say that I made that judgment before I even tried the demo, because not interested. I like Ubisoft a lot, you know that.
Yeah, so do I. I really had... I don't know. I didn't have any high hopes, to be honest. But
well, Ubisoft... they're mixed, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's talk about David Cage's latest demo of Beyond Two Souls.
Ah, yes.
Both of us, we talk about David Cage a lot, and mostly yes. because I think he's doing things that no one else is doing, and that makes him interesting.
Yes.
He's the Neo Peter Molyneux.
One of the things that he's doing that no one else is doing is staying exactly the same as far as his design philosophies.
Oh, well, everyone does that. Let's talk. What's up?
Okay, well, did you play the demo for Heavy Rain?
I did not. I got the full version straight out and just played that.
Okay, so well, much like the demo of Heavy Rain, the demo for Beyond Two Souls presents two vignettes from the actual game. Because, you know, they play in chapters. It's been doing that since Fahrenheit.
Sure.
So you get two random chapters to kind of give you a taste of the game. The first chapter is called The Experiment, and it takes place when the main character, Jody, is a little girl, and she's being experimented on. And it basically serves as a tutorial for how to switch between her and the spirit, Aiden or whatever his name is,
okay.
and excuse me, how to use his ghost powers, for lack of a better word. And then the second one is when she is probably fairly far into the story, where she's on the run and you have to escape a train, and you know, it's the standard runaway stuff from Heavy Rain, run away, beat up the guys, use the ghost, etc., etc.
Gotcha.
Now the second part I didn't mind as much, because actually the whole thing as a whole, you know, it was interesting. But it definitely didn't leave me with the desire to play the game right away. I mean, I'll definitely play it at some point, but I'm going to wait until there's a price drop or a sale or something. It's definitely not a day one purchase for me. Because, you know, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, triggered the right stick, etc.
Yeah.
But what was interesting was the new control scheme, which was highlighted in the bit where you're running away. Before, you know, Fahrenheit had the whole Simon Says thing, Heavy Rain had the whole QTE, you know, click, press R1, etc., to punch and all that stuff. This sort of still has that, but it plays a lot more with the right stick, and it slows down the action. Like, if she's in a fight with somebody and she's about to punch them, the action slows down and you kind of see her arm going towards the person. And if her arm is going towards the right of the screen, you have to tap the right stick in that direction. If you see that she's going to block or something and she's putting her arms up to block, you have to go up. So it's interesting. I don't know that it works, because I had a little bit of trouble with it at first before I got used to it. But it's definitely a different direction.
Okay. I have to say that I spent 90% of Heavy Rain, because as a preface to Heavy Rain, I bought my very first PlayStation, which is my PlayStation 3, about, you know, a couple of months before I ended up getting Heavy Rain. So I chose normal difficulty, and I really had no familiarity with the controller. I'd only played through Mirror's Edge and Half-Life 2 on it, which...
Oh, yeah.
You know, so when it's going, press the circle button, I'm going, I kept looking down at the controller.
Oh,
going,
oh
my God, which one's the circle? So I had a pretty frustrating time with Heavy Rain when it came to control scheme. So I'm hoping I'll be better now that I'm playing Beyond Two Souls, because I pretty much know all the buttons on now after several years of playing on it, you know.
I would hope so.
Yeah. But yeah, so that really dampened my Heavy Rain enjoyment a lot by the fact that I chose, yeah, I'm really familiar with controllers, I know how to use them, and that wasn't really accurate.
I'm sure there was no pun intended there when you said dampened.
No.
Anyway.
That's disgusting. Let's move on.
Anyway, there was one thing that irked me a little bit about...
One thing?
Well, the most apparent thing that irked me.
Okay.
And that's in the bit, the experiment, where you're trying to use the ghost. So the setup is that she's in a room and they're observing her, and you can use the ghost thing to float around, and you're like, you know, it's first person, and you have like this ghostly umbilical cord that's attached to her, and you can go through walls and stuff like that.
That's
And when you're a ghost, you can, you know, little blue dots appear on things that you can interact with. And usually what you hold down R1 to lock onto them. And usually the default thing is you can move the things by, like, pulling back on the sticks and letting them go. Or, you know, if it's a person, you can possess them, or you can, you know, do other things and stuff like that. But in the beginning, it's basically just teaching you how to move stuff. So
sure.
The setup is that there's this lady in the other room, and she's got a bunch of cards that match cards that you have in front of you with shapes on them. So they want to do a little telekinesis experiment to see if you can pick which card the lady has picked. So, of course, you use the ghost to float through the wall and see what card the lady has, and, you know, you do that a few times, and then they're like, oh, well, let's see if you can move something with your mind. Try the blocks on the table. You know, very tutorial-esque.
Sure.
So at that point, you can only interact with the blocks, and then, you know, you blow the blocks over, and the lady in the room goes, oh! And then they're like, oh, see if you can do anything else. And then you can use, like, the water bottle or the papers on the table or whatever. You know, so then you do that, and the lady gets more scared. And then all of a sudden, there's a pause, and then you notice that there's a whole bunch of things you can interact with. And you can keep interacting with them. And as a player, you know, you're tempted to do it because it's this new opportunity has opened to you.
Sure.
And you know, you're having fun, you're experimenting. So, of course, this leads to the lady getting really scared and getting up and, oh, the door's locked, oh, and there's this whole, the music builds up and it's all tense and you're just messing around. You're like, ha-ha, I'm a ghost, I'm going to break things, and you're breaking all this stuff. And then they're all screaming, Jody, stop it, stop it. She's like, he's not listening to me, ah! And then finally, you know, you stop, and then they come in and they're like, oh, it's over. And she's like, it's never going to be over. And you're like, okay, this is obviously foreshadowing that the ghost is, you know, he's not going to be in her complete control, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, I get it.
Well, sure, he's a ghost.
Sure, whatever. Or something. He's a
they're
soul.
Crazy.
Yeah, the crazy. Ow!
Crazy. Christopher Walken.
Oh!
Anyway.
Now.
You had an issue with this, which I think is very relevant and really true.
Yes, I had an issue with this because, as you recall, Heavy Rain was very much about the choices that you made. And
absolutely.
David Cage went on and rattled on about how it didn't matter if you would never get a game over screen that, you know.
Which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You wouldn't get a game over screen, and if you did something differently, you know, certain things would play out differently, blah, 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 blah. So I thought, okay, well, I've tried being violent as the ghost. What happens if I replay this section and I'm not violent? You know, after I, you know, knock over the water bottle and the lady gets slightly startled, well, what happens if I just don't do anything else? So I did, and the exact same thing happened, which was kind of stupid because the lady gets scared and I'm not doing anything. Nothing else is happening. And the lady's like, oh, no, make it stop. And Jody's like, he won't listen to me. And I'm just like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, effectively, the illusion of choice is completely ruined by this.
Exactly. Completely. In the demo. And it's just totally highlighting the fact that you have to play the game the way that David Cage wants you to play the game in order to get the effect that he wants to go for.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's a real shame.
It really is. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so overall, how do you find, like, the presentation? I found one thing that I had really caught my attention when you were playing it. It sounds a lot like a movie.
Yeah, David Cage is just trying to make movies, obviously.
Yeah, when you were playing it, I was like, oh, man, this is so dramatic. When you have really dramatic movies, I remember watching the Mission Impossible film that was directed by Brad Bird. I'm like, oh man, this is too much of a movie for me. It's too dramatic, you know? I get overwhelmed by drama. I'm just like, man, I'm just not interested
in all
this.
Save the drama for your mama.
Yeah, man. You know.
I'm sure your mama wouldn't appreciate all the drama, though.
Well, at least she's a drama mama. But I noticed that it was really like, you know, she's swearing and carrying on and rah, and don't you know, and I was just like, oh, really? Is this, I don't know. I don't mind a bit of drama as long as it's introduced properly, I guess. And Yeah, I just happened to notice when you're playing, it really caught my ear how much, you know, drama there was going on. Like, oh, really?
Yeah. Seriously.
I know David Cage wants to make dramatic games, and Heavy Rain was dramatic, so I can't. I liked my favorite bit. Do you know what was your favorite bit in Heavy Rain?
My favorite bit in Heavy Rain. That's a good question because it's been a while since I played it. Tell me yours, and then I'll think.
My favorite bit was remember when he's having the hallucination dream segment, and you're in the train station, and you walk around and knock everyone over.
Oh sure, yeah.
I love that. That was great. I'd love more surreal, crazy shit like that. Rather than the oh my god, oh emotion. I'd like crazy. What the hell's going on here? I prefer like, you know, stuff where you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah. I liked the sequences where you were Norman Jaden and you had the funny sunglasses and you were like in virtual desk world and you could piece together the clues. That was kind of cool.
That was kind of adventure grade gaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that, well, the whole game was kind of adventure gaming, but
yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah. I see why you'd like that.
Yeah. Also, I like the bit towards, like, when you're Jaden and you go and you go to the junkyard and there's the guy that's Mad Dog or whatever his name is.
Sure, and you have to smack him around the face.
Yeah, and you have a, with you have a, you get, like, a turkey drug withdrawal, and he tries to, like, take his drug, but you have to press literally, like, all the buttons on the control pad in time and at the same time. And you think it's impossible to do, but I actually managed to do it. And I thought, well, that's nice. That's a nice touch. Because I thought it was going to be like that, like, you know, the illusion of you could actually do it and you actually didn't do it. But if you do it, you manage to arrest him and you completely, you know, don't have to do the whole fight sequence, which is
okay.
Which is nice.
Like, so. I said, I was not familiar with the controller at that point. So.
Yeah.
There was no way I was going to get it.
Yeah.
I was still looking down going, oh, how many buttons does this thing have again? Now,
by the way, speaking of Heavy Rain, did you catch how the entire plot twist is spoiled within, like, literally the first, like, 15 minutes of the game?
Oh, I haven't played it a second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, if anyone hasn't played Heavy Rain, I'm going to spoil a bit, so you might want to skip ahead the next couple of minutes. Yeah, the first time you play as Scott, I think. Well, the second time, Scott.
I really liked playing as Scott.
Yeah,
I was disappointed.
Yeah. The bit where you go to the convenience store and you have to prevent the convenience store robbery or whatever. He starts asking the convenience store clerk, and it's completely optional, but one of the things you can ask him about is Sean. And he's like, do you know anything about the disappearance of Sean Mars? And at that point in the story, Sean has just disappeared, so there's no way that Scott could possibly know about it unless, you know.
He did it.
Right. So he basically gives it away.
Gives himself away.
Gives himself away right at the beginning of the game. And, I mean, obviously, if you've played it already, you know. But, I mean, I wonder if, you know, you catch that the first time if you go in.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, no, Shelby was probably the only character I had any sort of sympathy for. And when it came, there was him in the end. I'm just like, it only heightened my disappointment at the fact that all of the stuff with, you know, all the blackouts and everything like that just got completely ignored.
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous.
For the oh, look at me, I did a twist ending. Oh, he was dead the whole time.
Do you think David Cage is becoming the M. Night Shyamalan of games?
It feels that way, yeah.
It kind of does.
Except David Cage has had more than one successful project.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Whereas, yeah. Have you ever seen Unbreakable?
Oh, we've had this conversation. I've seen most of Unbreakable.
It's just a bad film.
I know how you feel about Unbreakable. Mm-hmm. I actually watched The Sixth Sense again for the... Yeah, everyone liked The Sixth Sense. It's a good movie. I watched it again for the first time in years recently, and I was just like, yeah, this is a good movie.
It's a good film. But, it's well It's well done.
Yeah,
but
it's totally a case of beginner's luck, though. Because
yeah, it feels
after that,
it feels it like just trying to capitalize on his success, and everyone is just going,
Yeah,
it.
You got us once.
Man, this is turning into the movie podcast, which is a really bad idea because I know nothing about films.
Well, it's okay because movies influence games, and all media influences everything else. So
we should do a book review podcast.
No, I don't read.
No.
I'm just kidding. I do read, but I haven't read anything relevant lately.
What have you been reading lately?
I haven't read anything in a while, actually. I read was The Twist.
Oh, man, that's such a great book that you hate. Well, you didn't hate, but
I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it as much as you did.
I loved it because it was just so ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah.
I've been reading The Anubis Gates.
I see.
Sounds awful.
Last night I went to the New York Indie Game Drink Night, and Dave Gilbert came along, and he brought a Dresden Files book, which I know he's a fan of.
Oh, yeah, I've read the first five of those. They're quite fun.
Okay, so I called him out on it, and I was like, Dave, why are you bringing a book to a bar? Do you know who else brings books to bars? And he was like, who? And I said, Ben Chandler brings books to bars.
What's the problem?
Who reads in the bar?
People that like reading, left, right, or middle?
Middle.
Oh, you are my good luck charm. You know that? Man, how do you do it? Anyway, reading's great. Reading's great. I've been reading a very silly time travel novel, but it's fun, you know. And it it really reads like 1800s literature fan fiction. Like,
that's a bit strange, but okay.
But like well written fan fiction. But yeah. So books are good.
But you don't have to take my word for it. Ba-da-bum. Sorry, that's a reference that you don't get, but people will probably say, hey.
Probably people that have seen things.
Probably.
So anyway, let's talk about Dave Gilbert. You mentioned something that Dave Gilbert said about Gabriel Knight that we discussed very briefly, and I think we could perhaps discuss a little bit more.
Oh yeah, sure. It ties back into the idea of games spoon feeding you of what you have to do. Dave was mentioning that he was playing the first Gabriel Knight, and he found that he was just kind of stumbling along, that there was no real goal or direction or motivation for Gabriel to do what he does at the beginning of the game. Like, he's researching his book, but he has all these areas available for him to go to, and he just kind of goes and solves the puzzles, but Dave felt that he didn't really have a reason to. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, yes, he's researching his book, and Grace kind of gives him the leads for where he has to go, and he goes and he talks to his grandmother and all that stuff, and he sort of starts getting little tidbits of his family history and all that. But very quickly he finds out, you know, he goes to the crime scene where Mosley is, and then he meets Malia Getty, and then, you know, he little by little things it quickly
escalates pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, you know, it is all about the exploration. It's not just like, you know, if the game hit the ground running and Gabriel was just like, I need to look into this voodoo cult thing, you know, it just wouldn't be that exciting, I think. I think it benefits from the slow pace at the beginning. And then
I don't think adventure games need to be slow paced. They weren't historically, and I don't think they need to change that, you know.
Yeah.
First-person shooters have become very streamlined. I don't think we need to streamline every genre. Jesus. Yeah, no, I understand the reason for streamlining in a game. It's if you want to tell a story and that's your primary goal. But if you want to tell a story and also have some exploration, you can do both. There's no reason you can't do both. So, yeah. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's basically you can't really die until the fifth day in Gabriel Knight, so the danger element doesn't really ramp up until a good ways halfway through the game, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't think you necessarily would need to be,
no.
You know.
You know I feel exploring games is amazing, so, you know, my opinion on that one's pretty clear.
Yeah. What? Oh, excuse me. This podcast is boring me, clearly.
Oh, I'm so bored.
What is this? No one lives forever?
Yes, you got it. You're the one. Yes.
Good.
Oh, man, that was a great game.
Yeah, it was.
What was their names, those three?
God, I don't remember. Those were the most pointless characters in that whole game.
Yeah, they were. They had like 10 cutscenes.
Yeah.
Well, 3 cutscenes, and then you fight them, and that's it.
And then that's it. There's no explanation whatsoever. Yeah. I think
they just wanted to put like foxy 60s ladies in the game. More foxy 60s lady than Kate Archer.
Well, I'm not complaining.
We never get to have any fun. Great game. More people, man, listeners of the podcast, this is your homework. Play No One Lives Forever. And No One Lives Forever 2, which I enjoyed just as much.
Yeah, No One Lives Forever 2 was good. I have to confess, I like No One Lives Forever 1 a little bit better. But NOLF 2 was pretty good.
NOLF 1 was a bit less silly.
Yeah, NOLF 2
says
got
a lot,
pretty ridiculous.
NOLF silly.
Yeah.
Abigail!
See, that's the thing, too. Like, NOLF 2 added a bunch of stuff that NOLF 1 didn't have. Like, it also had experience points and stuff like that that didn't really need to be there, you know? I don't know. This whole obsession with collecting and unlocking and trophies and everything, it's just... It's all this... I don't know. Games just seem to be ramping up.
Games.
No, actually. No, hush. We need those. But... It just seems like the games are all about positive reinforcement. It's kind of like, okay, so this is really treading into alternate territory here. But my mom is a teacher, right? And
I knew that was going here. Man, Andel's a teacher. He'll be listening. He'll be like, oh, don't criticize our teaching methods.
No, it's not a criticism of teaching methods. It's just an observation of how teaching methods have changed recently. I remember when I was in school, you know, you'd get the answer wrong and be like, nope, sorry, that was the wrong answer. Nowadays, it's all about positive reinforcement. And if the kid just gives the answer wrong, the teachers are supposed to say, well, I appreciate what you're trying to do here. Or, you know, that's not right, but, you know, good job. You know, the whole point is to, like, give a bunch of positive reinforcement.
Good job for what? For being able to speak?
Yeah, for making the effort to answer the question.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah, so basically, the name of the game is rewarding.
Man, don't tell that
excessive
sweetstin.
Excessive rewarding, yeah. So I think games seem to be going that direction too. It just seems like everything you do in the game is, you know, they're trying to give you positive reinforcement for everything. And I don't know if that's
you died. Here's a trophy.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing, you know.
It reminds me of casual games where you get achievements in like half a second for doing nothing.
Or you get sparklies and little ringy ding tones.
Don't you dare pick on the sparklies, man. Have you played Peggle? You've never played Peggle, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, what is wrong with you? Play Peggle.
No, I don't want to play Peggle.
Have you not played Peggle? Man.
Easily, because I have a penis.
That is no. We're not going to get into gender stereotyping here.
I've just alienated half of our audience.
Yeah, man. We're an equal opportunity podcast, man.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I play hidden object games.
Yeah, you do.
Don't feel bad about Grindelzab's recent comment.
Is it the hidden object games? Oh, never mind.
If you were gonna say something rude, I think you should consider that you should be ashamed of yourself.
I was gonna say something rude, yes.
I knew it.
I was gonna make reference to the ultimate hidden object.
Yeah, I thought so. And if you're 18 years old and don't know what that is, you should probably find a new home because that rock's probably, yeah. Anyway,
what?
Nothing. How old are you?
Me.
Hmm.
That's inconsequential.
It's not. So.
I'm way older than 18, I'll tell you that much.
Good. let's talk about something else. What else would you like to talk about?
Good idea.
We've talked about some things. You know what I played the other day? You know what I got sent a build of because I nagged him to send me a build?
Was it Kathy Rain?
Yeah. It's lovely.
I do
I'm
know
excited.
because
It's
I
one
know
to
a lot.
watch. Definitely one to watch.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But
How are you
so.
going? How are you going? Speaking of things of game design, how are you going on your? Well, you're doing all freelance work lately. You're not working on any of your own projects currently, are
No,
you?
I've been busy working for everyone else, so.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
It's going all right. It keeps me busy. My work's been, my work's been pretty busy, so, yeah.
Do you feel the itch to work on your own games?
Yeah. A little. A little.
Okay.
I like drawing, so if I'm drawing, I'm happy most of the time, But
Sure.
I've got stuff that I want to make as well, You just gotta, I gotta prioritize, because I got a
Oh,
lot
of course.
of, and yeah, I still enjoy sort of being able to work on games anyway. And I find I always get really excited. If I've agreed to work on a game, it's usually something I get excited about. Left, right, or middle.
Left.
How do you do it?
I'm the man.
Oh man, you're the man. Man, I'm going to the casino with you.
Sorry,
You're like the luckiest guy I know. Are you a leprechaun? So yeah, it's like.
sorry.
So yeah, I haven't worked on anything of my own since we did our little Oro projects,
Okay.
which was quite a while ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. It
So
was
yeah, no, I still remember how to code and
July or something.
yeah, I still remember how to do it. I just haven't I haven't made time for it because if I'm not working on someone else's game, I'm either, playing a game or looking for more games to add to my collection. So
Sure.
there's only so many hours in the day.
How
And
many
like you
games have
said,
you got in your collection now?
Probably 1,000.
Holy
Not on my
hell.
shelf, including digital ones, probably 1,000.
Jesus. Man, who are you going to bequeath all of these to when you're old and
My
gray?
cat. The
Okay.
only one that really loves me.
He loves
You're
your
laughing. It's
he loves you
sad.
for your food, like all cats.
Yeah, he does actually. He. Yeah.
The minute you stop feeding him, he's gonna turn his tail and
No,
run.
he likes the fact that I'm nice and warm to curl up with at night, so there's that.
Well. What a cat.
How many games have you got? Not enough. Good answer. It's always the
Well,
answer.
I'm looking at them right now. I'm actually missing quite a few of my games. I have to get them shipped up here.
Well, you're not going to play them. You silly.
I might. But I'll have them to look at and admire. Anatoly stayed at my place last night, and he was looking at my collection, and he was really impressed with some of my games. He was really impressed that I had Woodruff and the Schnibble.
Oh yeah, he likes that game. He's a big
Yeah.
fan of Cocktail Visions, Goblins games, and Woodruff and the Schnibble.
Yep. And well, I still have Capstone's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I was going to sell on eBay, but I've decided I'm going to keep for nostalgia's sake because Capstone actually used to be in Miami. And a friend of mine, his mother used to work for
I
Capstone.
remember you telling me this.
Yeah, and the only perk he got from that was a copy of Chronomaster, which I
Which
don't
is not a
know.
perk.
It's not really a perk, but hey.
Eh.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, well, not work for Capstone. Well, not have your parents work for
Well,
Capstone.
you can't because they've gone belly up
Yeah.
for quite a while
Do
now.
you know what I
So,
started playing for the first time the other day?
what?
Flight of the Amazon Queen.
Oh yeah, how are you finding that?
I've only played a little bit of it. I've enjoyed solving the puzzles because I enjoy solving puzzles, so there's that,
I honestly can't remember many of the puzzles. All I remember is that the main character is called Joe King, which is really funny,
Yeah.
and his voice is ridiculously pitch shifted,
It is.
and the villain is like a crazy mad scientist who wants to turn women into dinosaurs or something.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, I thought that was in the
Quiet.
intro of the game.
Was it?
I don't know.
The intro of the game is he's.
He's in like a dressing room and he has to escape or something,
No,
doesn't he?
no. He's being held by a mobster.
Oh, okay.
You've
Yeah.
forgotten, haven't you? And then you're in the
I
dressing
played it years and years ago, so yeah, I
room.
have forgotten. And
Yeah.
to be honest, it wasn't a very memorable game, so.
It's pretty cute so far. But I like
Yeah.
adventure games, which is rare these days. It is. It really is. I mean, real adventure adventures, where you get stuck a lot. I like those.
Well, fair enough.
Well, I think a fair bit of a is that I play games in bits and parts, and I don't sit down and go, yeah, I expect to finish this game today.
Okay, right.
You know, like with Edna and Harvey, the breakout is a really, it's got lots of really complex puzzles, and, you know, some of the craziest puzzles I've ever solved have been in that game. And I would just get home from work every day, and I'd be thinking about the puzzles all day at work, and when I get home, I just, you know, I had them in my head. So it's a very slow paced way of playing. It's not like where you sit down and go, you know, I'm gonna blast through this sucker.
Sure.
You know, so
okay.
Whatever. So yeah, I'm enjoying the very small part of Fly of the Amazon Queen that I've played.
Okay. We'll see how it gets better. Feel the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I honestly don't recall it getting much better, to be honest. But
we'll see.
We'll see.
Is that a very long game?
I don't know, actually. I don't think it's overly long. But I don't recall it being extremely short either. I'd say it's probably medium.
It's an adventure game, and they're never really super long, except for The Longest Journey and Dreamfall, both of which I'm like, oh, God, come on. Then again, I call The Longest Journey, so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
I remember getting to like the middle of Dreamfall and being going, this must surely be the end.
Yeah, no.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, what else can we talk about?
I don't know.
Have you seen any games that you want recently that you haven't got, but you're like, yeah, I'll get that eventually?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, okay. I still haven't even looked at it.
Not
interested.
I've seen lots of stuff, and I've just, the more I see of it, the more I want it. So I've stopped kind of trying to look at it.
I bought a new adventure game today, so I'm interested to just try that and see how it goes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's called, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's either O Night or O Knit or something like that.
Oh.
Should be good. It's very dark, and it's very, looks very cute. It's quite, it looks, I think it's based in Swedish folklore or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Good.
All right. Well, good. Yeah, obviously also I'm interested in The Last of Us.
Yes.
I'm interested in Watch Dogs when that comes out, but that's not out yet.
I saw that for pre-order today, but it was still way too expensive for my taste. Well, not for my taste, for my budget, I think.
Yeah. Batman Arkham Origins comes out soon, but I'm not going to get
that. What was that game that was advertised when you were here in Australia, and I hated the poster?
Oh, Injustice Gods Among Us.
Yeah, I was talking to Ashton Reyes the other day, and he was playing it, and I'm like, oh man, I saw that, and I hated the poster, the promo art for it.
Yeah.
And he seems to be enjoying it, so I'm curious.
Isn't it just like a fighting game, but with superheroes?
I get it fine, though. Mm. I just hate the poster. Is that so wrong?
Oh, fair enough.
I don't mind fighting games, I just, yeah. I think the only fighting game I've actually played through the story modes of is the Bleach game on DS, which I understood none of, so that was nice.
I see. And
a Guilty Gear game somewhere. I'm terrible at fighting games, so I die a lot.
Well, I get frustrated. I haven't really played a fighting game since Street Fighter 2, so.
Okay. That's a long, 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 long time ago. Yeah. When I went to, you know, when I went to Darth Helmet's house, he made me play Shaq Fu against him.
Okay. And?
Well, it's Shaq Fu, what do you expect? I laughed a lot.
Oh,
it's
man.
Really well animated. Really,
you know,
well.
You know a movie you should see is Shazam.
What's that about?
It's about Shaquille O'Neal. He's a rapping genie.
What and has Shaquille O'Neal done? That's what I want to know.
Meth? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Judging by some of his endorsed products.
He's a rapping genie who lives in a boombox instead of a magic lamp, and a kid finds it and, yeah.
Oh, man, you know what would have been amazing if it was a turntable instead and you had to, like, scratch on the turntable to get Shaquille to come out? That would have been sensational.
That's a little worrying, actually.
That would be amazing. They should do a time-traveling game. with like the 90s thing with the Public Enemy big clock. You wear it around your neck and you like have to, yeah.
Yes. Man, I'm sad that Shazam doesn't seem to have a Wikipedia article.
What?
I want to know more. I want to know more about the rapping genie.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I video games, acting. Here we go.
Is this still a podcast? It wasn't. It was like a normal Skype conversation.
I was wrong. It wasn't Shazam. It was Kazam.
Oh,
it's an easy mistake.
Is it? It feels like a normal Skype conversation between us now. I feel like the lines have blurred.
Yeah, well, we always said that was eventually going to happen.
Yeah, it's happened.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, a boombox. The genie inside decides... Oh, apparently there's a magic lamp, and it lands on a boombox, and then the genie decides to go into the boombox instead of the magic lamp.
And the genie is Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, the genie is Shaquille O'Neal.
He seems to have done a lot of things...
Yeah, I don't know.
For a basketball player. I mean, he was a good basketball player, there's no doubt. But was he a good rapper? Was he a good genie? Was he a good actor?
I have no idea.
Was he a good video game character?
I never saw Kazam.
Do you know what else Darth Helmet got me to play, which was amazing? It was what? Blazing Dragons, a video game. I want to get a copy of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was sensational.
Yeah.
If you are a listener of our podcast and you like old school adventure games, which I believe you ought to... And especially ones from the 90s, not like, you know, King's Quest 1 or anything, but I'm talking like Sam and Max, Day of the Tentacle sort of era.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a PlayStation 1, check out the Blazing Dragons game. It's great. Absolutely fantastic. Really nice graphics. Like LucasArts quality. Nice puzzles. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah, I've seen bits of it and it looks amazing.
It really is.
Which is, it's strange that it was only released on PlayStation 1.
No, there's bits you can only play with the PlayStation controller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a dance routine. You stand on the stage, and there's a neon light behind in the shape of a controller, and you have to hit the buttons in accordance with that, like a Simon Says kind of deal. You know how it. You know.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So here's a fun fact. Apparently, Kazam is considered one of the worst movies of all time.
Well, it's got Shaquille O'Neal in it. He's a basketball player.
Shaquille O'Neal said that he doesn't regret making the movie. He said, "I was a medium-level juvenile delinquent from Newark who always dreamed about doing a movie. Someone said, hey, here's $7 million. Come and do this genie movie. What am I going to say?
Wow.
Oh, no, so I did it."
Good on him.
Now, let's put that into perspective for a second. He got $7 million to do a genie movie. Man, that's pretty crazy.
Well, doesn't surprise me. It's Shaquille O'Neal. He was a superstar in the 90s, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question, but I already know the answer to the question. And the question was, what would you... No, that's not the... The question was, what would you do with $7 million? I know the answer.
I'd build a castle.
Oh. And fill it with games.
No, I'd build a castle made out of games.
There you go. That's what I thought. I knew games were going to figure into the answer somehow. Man, you could live for the rest of your life on $7 million. At least I could, because I'm a tight ass.
Shaquille O'Neal is probably living the rest of his life out on the profits he made from a film that no one ever watched except you.
I never watched it, though.
Oh, well, how do you claim any authority to speak on it, then?
Because I can.
Oh, what is
anyway, yes, it is. And anyway, I think we should end the podcast on this note.
Yeah, I thought we actually... I actually sort of had forgot podcasting for a bit then, and we were just talking on Skype, as we always do.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Yeah, so, I guess we'll see you next time. Bye!
Have lots of fun, play lots of games, and check out The Inner World. I know I recommended it last week, but... Great game, really great game. So, yeah, check it out.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.